Right after Jesus Christ defeated Satan in a titanic battle for the ages, he made an interesting statement. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's been almost 2,000 years. God's kingdom still hasn't come. What did Christ mean? Find out next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. The most fierce battle ever fought on this earth was between Satan the devil and Jesus Christ. And of course, Christ won that battle. And after that battle was over, he made one of the most profound and inspiring statements that he ever made when he was on this earth. However, if you check with most believers today, believers of the Old Testament and the New Testament, you will find, I believe, most all of them don't understand what this statement means. It's a mystery to them. They don't understand it. Christ at that time had qualified to replace Satan the devil on his throne on this earth. Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, and he's deceived the whole world, Revelation 12 and verse 9. But now at this point, Jesus Christ had qualified to replace him. Now, of course, he wasn't going to do that until about 2,000 years later. But he was going to replace Satan on his throne and rule this earth. Now, after they had this gigantic battle, a ferocious battle, Jesus Christ made the statement, really the most mind-shattering statement you could receive, I think. Now, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand, and he didn't mean just the end time or after death, or he meant at that very time when he was speaking to his disciples on this earth, when he was here on this earth. Now, I think what is most inspiring about that statement is this, and what it really means. The church was built at that time. Christ said he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. So he was talking about the church in those seven eras from the very first century right on down to the last century and the second coming of Jesus Christ. So if Christ had not qualified, you and I would not have any hope, because that was the good news of the coming kingdom of God. That's what the gospel is. It's talking about the gospel, the good news. So his message was for really all time. And I just really, you have a hard time finding any news mentioned in the Bible that's more inspiring than that. But Satan has deceived the world about it and about what it means. So I'll ask you today, or talk to you today, about the kingdom of God is at hand. And what does that mean? What does it mean to you? I mean, to you individually, because that's God is addressing us personally here. Notice Mark 1 in verse 14. Now, after the John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. Well, now that's quite a message. The kingdom of God is at hand. And he said that about 2,000 years ago. And most people that believe in their Bibles don't understand it. And it's absolutely critical that we understand it if we're ever going to receive that good news personally and be a part of it. Now, this is the gospel of the kingdom of God, and that's what Christ is talking about here in Mark chapter 1. That's the subject. And there's only one true gospel, so we have to understand this gospel, or we don't understand God's message to us for all time. There is a good news message, and it is the most inspiring message you could ever hear, and it is and was at hand almost, around 2,000 years ago. It was at hand. And Jesus Christ made that clear to the disciples. So why the mystery about all of this? Why is it a mystery to this world, and why do they not understand it? Notice Mark 1 and verse 1. We'll back up a few verses. Mark 1 and verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now here is the beginning of the gospel he's talking about. And he ties the Son of God into that. So why bring the Son into it? What does that have to do with the gospel? Well, it has everything to do with it. And I'll show you more about that as we go along. Because you see, the gospel is the good news of the coming kingdom or family of God. The kingdom is a family. The family is going to administer the government of God. The family being used in before Christ gets here and being called out by God are going to be the ones that rule with Christ as His bride over the rest of humanity, which will be brought into God's family as well. But they won't have the same rulership positions that the bride of Christ has, obviously. So here we're talking about only getting to the beginning of the gospel. And we'll send you material that will explain all of this to you, and all of our literature is free. Verse 11 of this chapter says this, "And there came a voice from heaven saying, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Now here is the Father coming into the picture. And He's well pleased with His Son. And this is all about the gospel of the kingdom of God being at hand. It's about the family of God, and it's about you individually being born into that family. There's so much confusion about born again today. But God is talking to you individually and saying that every man who's ever lived on this earth is going to have a chance to understand that gospel, to be a part of the family of God. God is not going to leave anybody out or exempt anybody as long as they're trying to obey Him and really apply the truths that God gives them. But again, it's about that wonderful government in the world tomorrow, and here we have the Father and the Son brought into this picture right along with the gospel of the kingdom of God, because the kingdom is the family. It's the kingdom or family. You can use them interchangeably, but the family is mentioned throughout the Bible, and most people don't really understand that. But we must understand about the family. God is wanting you as a member of His family, and those called out and used and do God's work before the second coming of Christ are going to share Christ's own throne as His bride. I mean, it's just a mind-shaking, shattering truth that really ought to make all of us be in awe of it, I believe. Notice verse 12. "And immediately the Spirit drives him into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and of the angels ministered unto him." So here is where Christ qualified to replace Satan. He went out and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was getting close to God, and he was ready to take on Satan the devil. You can read it in Matthew 4 and other Gospels of the New Testament. So he was ready. So then he came, after he overcame Satan, he came announcing the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, it's at hand. It is at hand right now. Right then when he was speaking. Well, how was that possible? Now, if you think about this today, it began then in the context that Christ is talking about, and it continues right on down to from the first era of the Church of God to the seventh era of the Church of God and the second coming. Seven eras. You can read about that in Revelation 2 and 3, those two chapters. But he says in Revelation 3 and verse 21 that you and I, if we're going to share his throne, are going to also have to qualify to sit on that throne. And we're going to have to overcome Satan, the god of this world, as he did. We're going to have to do that, and that's how we qualify to replace Satan on his throne and share that throne with Jesus Christ, the first fruits husband, those who are called out before the second coming. Satan had a qualified replacement from that day, that battle on down to this end time. And Christ is about to now take that throne. That is extremely imminent when he's going to do that. But he's not going to do it until his second coming. So God gave man 6,000 years. Now look around at what's happening in this world. Adam led the human family away from God and out of the Garden of Eden where the tree of life was, and it was closed off. And so God says, okay, if that's what you want. And so he sentenced them, let's say, to 6,000 years of doing their own thing and trying to figure out how to make this world work, and they can't do it. He knew that from the beginning. They never, ever could have done that. But now he's about to return, and he's going to take that seventh day of 1,000 years, and he's going to bring paradise to this earth like it never, ever has even dreamed of. Now that is something to get excited about. When you look at what's happening in this world, and anybody that knows what's going on has to have a certain anxiety because we have all of these stockpiled nuclear weapons, and man is ready to annihilate every human being on this earth, along with all the animals and anything that has life. That's how bad it is. Do you think they're qualified to rule this earth? Well, that is like the epitome of what they have accomplished. Look at the curses on this earth because man is ruling over man. God never intended that. He intended God. You see, that's what the tree of life was all about that Adam rejected. He could have received God's Holy Spirit, and God would have led him, and we wouldn't have all of these problems that we see in this world. They would be solved as we go along, but they wouldn't even be significant by comparison because we'd solve most of them before they even manifested themselves to others anyhow. So here we have this 7,000-year plan. Notice verse 14. We'll read that again. Verse 14 says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, or the family of God. See, it's a family plan. But then he also said, now you're going to have to repent and believe. There is something we have to do. Notice that here in verse 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, you, and believe the gospel. Now, if you think you don't have to repent, you'd better think again, because Christ just made a carte blanche statement. Repent and believe. Return around and quit forsaking me and follow me and believe. Now, that's what we're here on this earth to do, and that's how we qualify to share Christ's throne, if we want to be a part of it. Now, if we don't repent and believe today, we won't be a part of it. as a bride of Jesus Christ, the bride. Let me quote you something here from what Herbert Armstrong said. How was the time fulfilled? Why was the kingdom of God then at hand and not before? Now we need to know that. This is critical information. Notice what he says. Simply because the wonderful news of the coming kingdom of God could not be announced until a successor had qualified to replace Satan as earth's ruler. And that's what he did. He goes on to say, at last, the kingdom of God. See, God's very elect. It is the kingdom of God in embryo. At last, the kingdom of God, God's government over the earth, was at hand. And it's there in embryo in God's own church from that time all the way down to the second coming. That is spectacular news that you and I need to understand. And yet, people read over this and don't even grasp what it means. Most people. Mr. Armstrong concludes by saying, at last, it was assured that the time was fulfilled. The time was fulfilled. That's what the time is about. The one who had qualified to rule the earth was now free to announce his coming government. Well, what could be greater news than that? God is going to rule this earth and fill it with, or make it a massive utopia. And here, how could that not be good news when all of the people then will be repenting and believing and getting themselves ready to be born into the family of God? See, today the church is just here in embryo, but it's at hand. It's right there in God's true church. They live and they live the way the world is going to live in the wonderful world tomorrow. Everybody is going to be living that way. But God's church, His true church, is the kingdom or family of God in embryo, ready to be born when Jesus Christ gets back. Now, they're not born until then, and then they become a God being. See, that's where people are confused about born again. It's just the human family is a pattern of all that, showing us that it is a type of the very family of God. It's a God-plane relationship. And how precious is that wonderful truth that you can be on a God-plane relationship and live like God and act like God and be blessed by God in ways that you can't even imagine. I mean, this is spectacular news. Christ was thrilled that He could come making this announcement to all of His disciples and letting them preach that around the world in that first century. But you know something? After they preached it around the known world at that time, it wasn't preached around the world again until a man by the name of Herbert W. Armstrong came on this earth and started preaching it around the world again. Now, that sounds strange to some people, but you can prove that. I mean, he did have that very truth of God, and he did preach it around the world like it's never been preached around the world before. See, there's seven church eras from the first one Christ established himself, prepared everything for it, and then the kingdom God, you see, when you have that in those church eras, then the church of God is the kingdom of God in embryo. It's the family of God in embryo. To begotten today, begotten, but not born until Christ gets here, as far as the first fruits are concerned. Those called out before Christ's second coming, and then, of course, everybody will be obeying God when He gets back to this earth. All of them will. See, this is foundational revelation that we really need in our minds. We need to understand this. Christ said, look, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, then where is it? Where is this kingdom of God in embryo? Christ said, I will build it and it'll never die. Well, where is it? And if it's here on this earth, well, certainly God would be answering the prayers of those people and helping them. And he'd do the same thing to this world if they would just heed his message. But they won't until they have to suffer as no people ever have unless they learn that lesson. Now, that is what your Bible says, and we really do need to understand this. It's like today, we're like the fetus in the womb of the mother. And of course, the church is a type of our mother, the true church. And today, we're just in embryo. We're not yet born. I'll show you a little more about that as we go along. I don't have too much time left, but in Mark 1, it talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's not a gospel about him, but one he was preaching. That's the one we want to get. Not a gospel about that person, but the message he was speaking to us, or to the disciples at that time, and of course to all of us today through his Bible, through his word. Gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. That's what I read before. See, today we're only begotten, but we're going to be born into the very family of God. Jesus Christ had to come back to wrest the government away from Satan the devil. This world is ruled by the devil. That's why you see all of these terrible, terrible things in this terror-ridden world, because they're disobeying God. They've forsaken him. Even his own church, most of them, 95% of them, have rebelled. You know why? Because they rejected the Father, who is the head of the family and the one that makes all of this possible for us. Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, the only Son that God the Father actually, where he actually impregnated Mary with the Holy Spirit. That's what was used to beget Christ. So he had the Spirit of God from his birth in a human being. But the Father in heaven was the one that did the begettal, not a human man. Now how about that? See, he overcame the devil and he qualified to rule over him. Let me just read you quickly another quote here that's really outstanding. Mr. Armstrong wrote, "Why is it at hand? Brethren, I don't think you ever realize that, and I know the world doesn't realize why the kingdom of God was then at hand. You are going to have to come to see the church. That means all of you and all of the rest of the church all over this world. The church is the kingdom of God in embryo, not yet born, not yet developed very far. Only an embryo or a fetus, so to speak, unborn but begotten. We are the kingdom of God in embryo. I don't think you've ever really come to realize that at all." He's talking about his own people. I'm telling you, this is profound and it's inspiring beyond most everything Christ said. We have to see that, and we're going to give you literature to explain all of this to you, and that Born Again booklet is one of them that explains what I'm talking about here. You can easily prove what born again means from your Bible. I mean to tell you, we have a booklet that Mr. Armstrong wrote, and it just clears away all of the questions you may have about that subject. Well, Christ, again, if you see when Christ in John 1, in verse 1, it was God and the Word. Then Christ went on down in verse 18 and said, well, he had declared the Father. He came to this earth to declare the Father. He was born of a woman and begotten by his Father, Christ was. He and the Father began the family of God there. Two gods, not three, two, but then they opened up the family to to all of mankind. God is going to give every human being on this earth an opportunity to be born into that family. Now, that's the best news we could ever hear and ever will hear. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
Right after Jesus Christ defeated Satan in a titanic battle for the ages, he made an interesting statement. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's been almost 2,000 years. God's kingdom still hasn't come. What did Christ mean? To understand what Christ meant when he said, "The kingdom of God is at hand," you must understand his gospel message. Traditional Christianity preaches a message about Christ himself, but Christ preached a totally different message, a message about the coming kingdom of God. God's kingdom is all about family. Request our free booklet, "Just What Do You Mean, Born Again?" to learn the first step to joining the God family. Many professing Christians sincerely believe they have been born again, but do not understand what Jesus meant by those words. The true answer is not only surprising, it's startling. Read on to understand the beautiful parallels between physical and spiritual birth. This is the most important truth you can know, made plain in a short booklet so you can understand. Did you ever ask yourself, "Who am I? What am I? Why am I?" You are a mystery. The world about you is a mystery. Now you can understand. Request our free book, Mystery of the Ages, for answers to life's most important questions. Learn about your part in God's marvelous master plan. Progress through studies of essential subjects that build on top of one another, from God to spirit beings, to man, to civilization, to Israel, to the church, to the kingdom of God. Read Mystery of the Ages for God's perspective on the precious life he gave to you. Christ came to earth to declare the Father, the God family. He didn't come here to declare himself. Request Gerald Fleury's free book, The God Family Vision, for the only message that will fill you with hope. It's about bringing God's government and peace to the whole universe. It is the true gospel that mankind has never understood. All our literature is available free of charge, at no cost or obligation to you. Request "Just What Do You Mean, Born Again?" Mystery of the Ages, and The God Family Vision. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.